from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to do some money in politics. We got to give special kudos, my pal Monica Crowley out there in the wind someplace. Last minute. Thank you, Monica. Monica Crowley is a former assistant secretary of the Treasury, and she is the author of the Monica Crowley podcast. Monica Crowley podcast. Monica, you out there?
Hi, Larry. Yes, I am, and I am in the wind, but hopefully it won't be.
That's
too
okay.
Bad.
No, we appreciate your pitching in. And my pal John McIntyre, president and CEO of Real Clear Politics and Real Clear Media, very important website, particularly come election year. So, kids, I guess the lead story right now is the New York Times, Siena poll. It's interesting. I haven't read the whole thing. I've just seen it on my cell phone. Biden has cut the lead to 1 point, 46-45. But, Monica, 80% in this poll, 80 rate the economy as fair or poor, 80%. So what do you think that means?
Yeah, well, that does not bode well for Mr. Biden now, does it? Because the economy is either the number one or number two issue for the vast majority of the American people. And usually the economy is steadily number one, no matter what election cycle you're in. But this year, because of the absolute historic catastrophe at the border, which also has tremendous economic consequences and ramifications for every American, that issue is now giving the economy a run for its money. But when you really drill down, the American people just want good wages. They want economic certainty. They want relative economic stability with the opportunity for growth. They want overall economic growth in the country. They want lower taxes. They want lower regulatory burdens. They want the American worker to be protected the way Donald Trump was protecting them with fair trade deals. They want lower energy costs. Like Trump provided by getting us to energy independence and a net energy exporter for the first time in the nation's history. They want all of these things because they directly affect their quality of life and their ability for their family to not just make ends meet, but actually thrive and advance. So an 80% dissatisfaction rate with the Biden economy and his handling of the economy is not good politically for Mr. Biden, never mind the overall health of the U.S. economy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad number. You know, John McIntyre, I was talking earlier in the show to Douglas Schoen, very distinguished Democratic pollster, old friend of mine, and he was talking about young people. Okay, now I haven't read the latest update of the New York Times Siena poll. I'm sure I'll scan it over the weekend, but young people have turned away from Biden. And the irony, John, is here's Biden trying to cancel all these student loans, which is illegal because the Supreme Court's ruled against it. But even putting that aside, the politics are no good. Most young people don't have a loan, point number one.
Right.
Most working middle class people don't have kids with loans, number two. And then you add on to that all the things Monica Crowley just mentioned with respect to high prices. Food, groceries, gasoline, electricity, et cetera, insurance costs for your car. So anyway, Doug Schoen is saying, you know, Biden's losing the youth vote, and that is not good. He can't afford to lose the youth vote.
No, look, that's exactly right. And it's not that he's necessarily, it's just the change in the youth vote. We're going to have a very close election. And if he's getting, 10 or 15% less than he did 4 years ago, like that's, in a close election like this, that's going to be determinative. But, when you're talking about prices and Monica hit on that, like wages and purchasing power, there was a political scientist reporter, Jay Cost, who was actually one of our original elections and politics. He writes for American Enterprise Institute, had a great column this week, but talked about purchasing power.
Yep.
And talked about how in the first terms of Reagan and Clinton, you had strong income growth And it both led to big reelection victories for them. And then you had modest income growth in George W. Bush's first term and Barack Obama's first term, and they both got reelected. Whereas you look at Jimmy Carter and George H.W. Bush, where you had weak income growth, both those incumbents lost, and Biden's is worse than Jimmy Carter and George H.W. Bush. And so people just don't have purchasing power. They don't feel it in their pocketbook. And the economy, you know, the economy is always at the end of the day, the driving issue. And that's where like the good GDP numbers, good unemployment numbers, they don't affect that purchasing power that people feel. And young people feel it particularly. And it's a real box that President Biden's in.
John McIntyre, did Jay Cost adjust that for inflation?
Yeah,
yes.
those are adjusted numbers, and that's a sort of macro factor out there. That's just if people look back and Joe Biden loses, I mean, like that's the, you know, people's purchasing power, their take home pay are worse than it was 4 years ago.
That, by the way, is very close. I mean, I haven't looked at it. I didn't read the article, but. Ray Fair, Professor Ray Fair of Yale, wrote about this. He had a model, presidential elections, and it was based on real disposable income. In other words, income adjusted for inflation and taxes. I still think that's the single most important thing, Monica. And Biden's got a problem. Now, Biden actually was making some ground up, but in the last few months, as inflation has popped back, he's losing ground. But here's a stat for you. Trump gave people a $6,500 increase in inflation-adjusted income. Biden has given them a $2,500 decrease. And so that's a problem over the course of his presidency. I mean, I think these income models are very important. But Biden was getting some back because the inflation numbers fell last year, but now with inflation rising again at a 4.5% rate so far this year, the income gains are evaporating, Monica Crowley. That can't be good for Biden.
No, because look, people feel this. It's their lived experience. It is their purchasing power. Their dollar is being devalued in a million different directions, but particularly because between fiscal and monetary stimulus over the last 3 years under Joe Biden and the Democrats and the Fed doing its part, they've pumped about $8 trillion down into the system. Well, you would grow too if I pumped $8 trillion into you over right. 3 years, right?
Right.
But look, the American people understand what has happened here. And, you know, the real crisis for most Americans is, as you point out, rising prices because of just the system being awash in all of this excess money, too many dollars chasing too few goods and services, but also the fact that their real wages have been falling under Joe Biden. So the squeeze is really, I mean, it's happening to everybody, but the people who are bearing the burden of this are the middle class, the working class, and the poor. Now, those are the same groups that Biden and the Democrats have professed to embrace for decades, right? Old Joe Biden, like the guy from Scranton, old blue-collar guy. Well, that's absolute nonsense, because if they really cared about those groups, they would have not gone down this outrageous spending road of the last couple of years that has created this dramatic inflationary spiral that we're in. And the people who can least afford it are being squeezed the most. And they are paying attention. This is an election year. But it's also, I think, why there's political pressure on the Fed to begin cutting rates to try to juice this economy and get people, you know, cheaper money. But I don't think, I mean, I don't know. I'm not privy to the Fed's internal discussions, but it doesn't look like they're going to be able to move because they put themselves in this inflation box. You know, Larry, you and I remember being on the air with you right after Biden took office and signed that Orwellian-named Inflation Reduction Act, which was, $1.2 trillion, something like that. And immediately, as before the ink was dry on that bill, inflation began to tick up. And you and I were screaming about this, saying, hey, man, the lesson of the 80s, early 80s, late 70s of inflation is once it becomes entrenched, it is very painful and difficult to dislodge. And nobody listened to us, and Yellen and all these people, Biden and Harris, telling us that it was going to be transitory. We all knew it wasn't going to be transitory. Prices only go one way, up, right?
Actually,
they never really come down. And so now we're in this position, and it is going to have dramatic political consequences.
Interest rates, John McIntyre, interest rates are going up, not down.
No, and market rates.
I think a lot of, by the way, the 30-year mortgage rate this past week from Freddie Mac is now 7.40. It's back to 7.40. That's a killer for housing. And
it affects people's ability to move, people who want to move, or new homeowners who want to try to get buy a house. It just gets back to that point. Like, they didn't, one of the biggest differences, this is a repeat, but this time President Biden's the incumbent. He has a record to run on, and people remember what it was like 4 years ago. And particularly, they remember what it was like before COVID came 4 years ago. So these are big headwinds for the incumbent.
Well, I think Joe Biden, twice this past week, Joe Biden said the Fed's going to cut interest rates, which almost clinches the fact that the Fed won't cut interest rates. I mean, they can't, because inflation is rising again. But if the president,
I still suspect that we will see some interest rate cuts, but the longer it gets pushed out, and I don't think just one, I think Biden is hoping for at least two or three, and you continue to get numbers like this, he's not going to get two or three.
He's not going to get it. I'm telling you, the next move in rates could be higher, not lower. Wouldn't that be a surprise? Honestly, wouldn't that be a big surprise? The other thing that was interesting, this week on Real Clear Politics, Monica, I'll go to you on this. Real Clear Politics running a story. Do White House officials pay their electric bills? I love this. And then there's a chart. Now, that's from the Wall Street Journal editorial, I think. Electric bills under Biden have gone up 29%, Monica Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
29%. Mm-hmm. I would say that's a problem. I mean, pretty much everybody has an electric bill.
Well, that is exactly right. And it's tied into housing, but it's also tied into the rest of your energy costs, right? Putting fuel in your car, much more expensive. I always say on my podcast, Larry, that the cost of just staying upright, okay? We're not talking about going on luxury vacations or buying a yacht or anything like this. Just the cost of staying upright, meaning feeding yourself and your family, putting a roof over your head, and getting to where you need to be in your vehicle, is overall prices are up 20% since Joe Biden took office. But when you drill down into some of these verticals, like electricity, like gas prices, like the cost of eggs or milk, the prices are off the charts. And that is a direct result of this out of control spending, where we're now running annual deficits of $2 trillion a year. Are you kidding me? And now we've got a national debt, $35 trillion. These numbers are very abstract for the American people, but their daily cost of living, which is all tied into the bigger picture, that is not abstract for them. And they are feeling it in their pocketbook, and they're struggling. Most Americans are struggling, again, just to stay upright.
You know, the problem is that most White House officials don't pay their electric bills. The White House pays their electric bills. I guess they mean it at your home where you live in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Monica Crowley, former Assistant Treasury Secretary, proprietor of the Monica Crowley Podcast, and John McIntyre, President and CEO of Real Clear Politics and Real Clear Media. We're going to take a break. On the other side of the break, Donald Trump wants more debates earlier. The question before the House is, will Joe Biden give it to him? I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking money and politics with John McIntyre, president and CEO of Real Clear Politics and Real Clear Media. And we're talking to Monica Crowley, former assistant treasury secretary and proprietor of the Monica Crowley podcast. Monica, former President Trump out this week saying he wants more presidential debates with Joe Biden, and he wants them sooner because you've got, you know, the voting. I think the voting starts in September. That could be wrong. The first debate is scheduled for the middle of September, although Joe Biden has not agreed to any debates. So, Monica, you think we'll have more debates and earlier debates or not?
Well, I think President Trump is very smart to be calling for more and earlier debates than the three that are scheduled well into the fall. And I think it's because he largely learned his lesson from last time around, which is that with this mass mail-in balloting and early voting, and you know what, Larry, you're exactly right. My understanding is that the first state to begin voting, I think, is North Carolina, and I think they begin voting on September 6th, so yep. Right after Labor Day.
Yep.
Very, very early. I mean, obscenely early. I think that the whole electoral system needs to be overhauled in terms of how and when we vote, but that's an issue for another day. But so he's saying, look, we cannot have a million people, because that's the estimate, early September through, I think, the first debate, September 15th, something like that. A million people are estimated to vote. He said, we cannot have a million people banking their votes before they see the two of us on stage for the first time. So let's start this summer. Actually, let's start now. Let's start in the spring.
Yeah.
Let's have a whole series of debates so that the American people can see the two individuals, their policy positions, their records, which are now back to back. We've got two back to back presidencies to compare, but also to evaluate whether or not these men are actually up to the task. We know Donald Trump is, but we see increasingly that Joe Biden is not. And the American people need to see that repeatedly, early, and often. Do I think it's going to happen? Absolutely not. I do not think that the Biden team is going to agree to a single debate simply because, well, two reasons. One, because his record is so atrocious, he can't defend it. But secondly, because he is incapable.
Well, John McIntyre, it's interesting to me, with the early voting, the federal government, I don't know if you've followed this. We talked about it earlier in this show. Won't raise it again. This is, I think of it as federal Zuckerbucks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is putting out these executive orders with administrative pay days. You go out, he wants Health and Human Services to register voters. He wants HUD, you know, to register ballot harvesting and public housing projects. The Education Department pushing out harvesting for high schools and colleges. The Agriculture Department, if you sign up, John, for food stamps, you know, SNAP or WIC, Women, Infants, and Children, they'll register you and harvest you. The Justice Department has one. The Bureau of Prisons and Marshals Service can register and encourage inmates to vote. Really? I mean, if you're going to have early balloting and you're going to have the whole federal government mobilized to harvest votes for Biden, which violates, of course, the Hatch Act, you better have debates. I mean, the Republicans better be ready for this. This is like federal Zuckerbucks is what's going on here.
Well, when you say Republicans be ready, I mean, I kind of agree with Monica. Like they don't, at the end of the day, they can't force Joe Biden to debate. Mm. And I don't think Joe Biden's going to debate. And you're right about this sort of federal Zuckerbucks because, you know, given we don't have Election Day anymore. We have election season that really goes on for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And it's less about it's less about a campaign of persuading voters to go out and vote for you, but just the raw mechanics of each side pushing ballots through the system.
It's incredible.
And the reality is the Democrats run circles around the Republicans on that. Part of the problem is, you know, the Republicans, you know, just complain and say, well, it shouldn't be this way and it shouldn't do it this way. The reality is, well, if that's the law, and the thing is, that, you know, it's not one standard. It's different in all these different states and it starts at different times. And the Democrats know that this election is going to be run in 4 or 5 states, really probably 1 or 2 states. Mm. And it's going to be the mechanics of turning those ballots out in those states that's going to decide the winner. Probably in the state of Wisconsin is probably the single hidden state in the entire election.
Yeah.
On that.
Well, that's where the convention's going to be, by the way. Monica Crowley, love. Thank you for helping out today. We appreciate it very much. Monica's podcast, the Monica Crowley podcast. John McIntyre, Real Clear Politics. We appreciate it very much.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.